Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have so much sound to get to today, thanks to Project Veritas and all the Democrats across the United States. But what I want to talk about here briefly, I actually think, Jared, I have plenty of material for a journalism in the news.
Now, and now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All righty. So we have a lot of fake news to get to, and then obviously just, you know, your typical daily media bias. And I also want to talk a little bit about Ben Domenech, who was on Fox, and there's this real push from some conservatives about how we need to start treating the mainstream media. Molly Hemingway actually says you shouldn't even refer to them as the mainstream media because that's not who they are. There's nothing about them that is mainstream. They are appealing to a very small group of people, left-wing radicals, and they are all activists. They are not journalists. Now, here's a great example, okay? This is really, all of these examples today have to do with the difference a few months can make, the difference a new president can make with the press. Do you guys remember the Russian bounties? I'm going to give you a few headlines to spark that memory, okay? Trump would do anything for Putin. No wonder he's ignoring the Russian bounties. On Russian bounties, what did Trump know and when did he know it? When a president and his own White House struggle to get their story straight, it's generally a bad sign. Biden campaign blasts Trump over Putin call that did not discuss Russian bounties on U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And now we fast forward to today from the Daily Beast. You ready for this? U.S. intel walks back claim Russians put bounties on American troops. Huh. So when does Trump get his apology? There are so many apologies owed to Trump at this point. But an apology kind of implies that you made a mistake. And none of these are mistakes. They are purposeful actions that were trying to hurt Trump. And of course, the biggest example today is how the media is weeping with joy about Biden withdrawing troops from Afghanistan. He has set the day. Joe Biden's Wednesday announcement, he wants to withdraw remaining U.S. forces in Afghanistan by September 11th this year. And these same outlets, I'm reading from The Federalist, raised hysteria when President Donald Trump pursued the same policy. Now, the great thing, social media is a hellhole, but there is one perk of it, which is other people go through old headlines so I don't have to. And they actually put them side by side. It makes it very easy for me. I want you guys to spot the difference between any of these. Let's start with probably the biggest difference, Time Magazine. This was a headline when Trump was trying to withdraw the troops from Afghanistan. Can Donald Trump accept a defeat in Afghanistan? And then today, Biden's move brings to an end America's longest war, a long simmering conflict that meant solemn sacrifice for military families and changed so much of day-to-day life for all Americans, even if they don't immediately realize it, writes Philip Elliott. Slight change in tone, The Washington Post had a picture of Biden, and then they wrote above it, Biden, cycle cannot continue in Afghanistan. Do you want to know Jake Tapper's take on that? President Joe Biden announces the end of America's longest war. So this is what Wolf Blitzer put up. He put up the picture. Jake Tapper writes back, the White House wanted the visual reminder of the human cost of war, that sacrifices have been made, and this isn't just an abstract decision. It's like, is Jake Tapper working for the White House? Is he getting paid? Is he getting paid to run this propaganda for them? Because if he is, he needs a raise. He's doing a wonderful job. And then the New York Times weighed in. You know, everyone's so happy now. Nancy Pelosi put out a statement saying, you know, she fully supports it. She has confidence in President Biden. When Donald Trump threw this out there, it was chaos. It was democracy dying in darkness. It was a constitutional crisis. This is from the Washington Post when Trump was thinking about this. Trump administration to cut troop levels in Afghanistan despite Pentagon warnings. Jared, are you familiar with the Pentagon?
It's the outfit over there, right?
Exactly. That's honestly the best way I could put it. Now the Washington Post writes, America's longest war may soon be coming to an end. President Biden is announcing that all U.S. troops will be leaving Afghanistan by the 20th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 attacks. What happened? What changed? It's amazing when you set up, when you hate all policies, not based off their substance, but based off the person who is suggesting them, it's amazing how hypocritical you'll look in such a short amount of time. Because these people trying to walk back this nonsense is hysterical. Now, we should play, if we're doing journalism in the news, I have to play the other Project Veritas cuts. To set this up, Charlie Chester is a CNN director, and he was on a few dates with someone who I don't think he's dating anymore. I could be wrong. Some relationships, Jared, they say that. Some relationships start from strange places. You wouldn't, you know, it's like the movies. They hated each other at first and then they end up in love. So maybe their love story is, you know, she recorded me secretly at a Panera. And yeah, she blew up my entire reputation. And actually, she ruined an entire network. And we've been married for 30 years. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. Love is love. So this is the CNN director, Charlie Chester, talking about how they, and now again, if you're driving, please pull over. This might come as a shock to you. How CNN manipulates the narrative based off the race of the shooter. Did I summarize that good? Okay, let's play it.
White shooter, black shooter. Which one are we going to, you know, like?
Yeah, the longest while, like, the story was like, people were like, lapping up that it was like, you know, white guys for like so long. I don't remember. I haven't seen anything about focusing on the color of people's skin that aren't white. They just aren't saying anything. You know what I mean? They're just not. All of a sudden that story loses a little steam.
I just have to say, and I don't want to be critical, I make a lot of mistakes on this show. Okay? I make a lot of mistakes on radio because I'm on with Howie too. So Lord knows a lot of errors. But one thing I have perfected is not saying like that much. Saying like that much is a bugaboo for me. When we were younger, if we were at the kitchen table, you know, sharing your stories of the day, and I said like in between each word, my mom would go, eh. And the more you said it, the more she would go, eh. And it kind of breaks the habit. That CNN director said like maybe 10 times during that. Like 10 times, actually. Nick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. And as they say, I guess in Chinese proverbs, pictures are worth 1,000 words. Is there anything more that would satisfy as a commercial that would show just what these scams of these protests are all about than the video yesterday, I believe it was, of a CNN crew member talking some people, and there's a woman, I think she might be a reporter because I can't see her left hand, because her voice comes through strong and clear. It's as if she's talking to, well, she was talking to a camera and a fella in front of her. So she says, it's all peaceful. It's all peaceful. The third time she says it's all peaceful, the guy gets whacked on the right side of the head with a water bottle, and he goes down. She sees this. Here's the most priceless part of the commercial. It's great timing. It's like Saturday Night Live or something like that. She sees that. Yes, she has a mask on. She rolls her eyes in horror, and she runs away. To me, that was priceless. What do you think of that, Grace?
I would love that. I think that's the perfect ad. I mean, it just shows you that it's like a frustrated kid with a puzzle where they have the puzzle piece, it doesn't fit, but they just decide, you know what, I'm just going to whack it in there until it does. This narrative is not working. It doesn't make any sense. Because the truth is that it's a lot easier to be consistent if you just say, hey, you know what, violence is bad. I found that to be a wonderful thing, especially in radio, if you just can condemn it when it happens and say, that's a really bad thing. CNN can't do that. Neither can NPR. They actually have people on the show sometimes that talk about how looting, you know, looting seems bad. You know, you might hear looting and think, ooh, not good. But wait a second. Let's dissect this a little bit more. Let's give looting a chance. And that's what happens. And there's been a lot of examples, especially of these reporters on the scene being hypocrites, not just with the protesting, but like when they go to a place. Remember that time? I think it was Jim Acosta, but I could be wrong. Some CNN reporter was asking people at a rally or, you know, outside, why aren't you wearing masks? And the guy said, why isn't your cameraman wearing a mask? Turn the camera on your cameraman. They're all hypocrites. It's all for show. There's a video of Dr. Fauci actually taking the mask off. And this latest one with the water bottle is just, don't believe your eyes, you know, believe our narrative. Don't believe the burning building behind us. Believe what we're saying about equality and justice and mostly peaceful protests. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or decades. Sell today with J.J. Manning. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. There's a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted J.J. Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row. Because they have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with the broker, you pay the commission. But in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. Some sectors are at all-time highs. Others are losing ground. Don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too, before you cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Given that assessment, does the president have any regrets for how many times he attacked President Trump on the campaign about this issue for not taking action related to the Russian bounties?
Well, I'm not going to speak to the previous administration, but I will say that we had enough concern about these reports.
No, he's not asking you to speak to the previous administration. He's asking you to speak to your administration, which had insulted the previous administration over fake news. There's the difference. She's got a lot of habits, Jared, that are you can pick up really quickly over time. Like, they don't take a long time to figure out. One thing I notice is if someone asks her a question and she doesn't want to answer it, she'll ask them a question back. I'm sorry, you want to know what? And she puts this tone on it to kind of make it clear that they're the dumb ones for asking the question. I'm sorry, you want to know what we think of the border crisis? Is that what you're trying to get at? And it's a brilliant move, answering a question with a question. But I love this. Like, she never knows what they're trying to ask her. It's like, oh, I think you get it, Jen. I think you get it. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared Diglio is on the board. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Ed Markey co-sponsored bill is worse, the Green New Deal or the court packing bill?
The court packing bill. They're power-hungry, crazy maniacs.
76% of the audience says yes, the court packing deal is worse than the Green New Deal.
I saw this on social media today, and it's not particularly mind-blowingly original or anything. You guys have probably heard something like this in the past, but I still did think it summarized what's going on pretty well. Gun control, they demand from behind their armed guards. Abolish the police, they shout from behind military security forces. Income inequality, they scream from their multiple mansions. Climate change, they wail from their private jets. I can't, just a side note here. I can't wait for this income equality situation to really pick up to the point where some of the women in the WNBA are saying, how come LeBron James makes $100 million a year? Why don't I get to make that? Why not? Why not? I want to have some of these big time male athletes answer why they make so much more money than the women.
It's a fair question.
And if you say it's because more people watch their games, you are a sexist pig. And I will not stand for it. All right, so let's get to some of this sound here because we do have a lot of it to get through. I have to mention this one just because it's a funny throwback. We're talking about Biden withdrawing the troops out of Afghanistan. He's setting the date for 9/11. And this is an old cut of what he said about Osama bin Laden. Cut 7.
I said, among with others, we'd follow Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell if need be. That's exactly what we did.
Wait.
And we got him.
I'm sorry, this is from, Jared just informed me, this is from yesterday?
Yes, this is from yesterday, talking about.
He posed the raid on bin Laden. He was
yes,
like the one guy in the room who said, don't do it. Obama told people that. Actually, he told people that.
No. See, Grace, you must be misremembering. You've been drinking too much of your Trump Kool-Aid or whatever it is. No, he was always all for this.
I was about to say, Jared, how do you know what I've been drinking? No, he was very much against this. Actually, there was someone who wrote a book. I'll find the exact quote here, who said Joe Biden's been wrong on every single issue his entire career, especially foreign policy. He's been wrong on everything. He's going to talk about following bin Laden to the gates of hell. You didn't even want to follow him into the cave that they got him in.
And this is the best part. This is tough guy Joe coming out again. Listen carefully to this.
I said, among with others, we'd follow Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell if need be.
No, John McCain said that. You did not say that, sir.
Yeah, that is. Oh, you know who it was? It was Obama, Biden, Defense Secretary Robert Gates noted Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue. Yeah, over the past four decades. Well, at least he's consistent.
Return to normalcy, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what, though? Have you seen those two German shepherds
There's
in the White House?
There's dogs in the White House.
There's dogs in the White House.
There's music in the White House again. There are dogs in the White House again. There is joy.
Jared, we almost forgot the biggest thing. Kamala Harris crochets.
What does Melania Trump do?
She doesn't crochet, I can tell you that much. We have this great sound of Dr. Fauci, and it's really, it's worth listening to. He's going back and forth with Jim Jordan about 15 days to slow the spread. He does not want to give a percentage of infection rate that we have to reach. He just keeps saying low. It has to be low. And he doesn't want to give a percentage rate because he doesn't ever want to reach it. He doesn't ever want this to end. As Stephen Miller wrote in Spectator, he wants this to be the forever pandemic or the perpetual pandemic. We'll take your calls on this after the break. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We've already covered a lot here. SCOTUS, court packing, Biden's announcement that he's going to pull the troops out of Afghanistan by September 11th, which is getting rave reviews from the mainstream media, who just a few months ago were telling you that this was the worst idea in the world. The only difference is that now the idea is Biden's, the moral, decent man in the White House who likes ice cream and dogs.
And no mention of the fact that, Donald Trump set the timeline for withdrawal 2 weeks from now, which, had he been elected, we would have been out in 2 weeks from now.
And I saw a lot of people say, listen, I want this to happen. I'll be happy if it happens, but let's wait and see if it happens,
Which is not happening.
I've heard Joe Biden tell us, Jared, I've heard a lot of people say, just hold on a little bit longer. Just hold on a little bit longer.
In 2012, Joe Biden said we'd be up by 2014. Still waiting.
Yeah, but he will follow. He said that he would follow Osama bin Laden to the gates of hell. And I have to say, as the one guy who didn't think the raid was a good idea on Osama bin Laden, you think he'd take a break on that one. It's amazing to me that he still wants to take credit for getting Osama bin Laden when he didn't think they should. He hasn't made one single right decision in four decades. And you know what it tells you, though, Jared, really is, and it's not necessarily saying he's a bad person or anything. I don't think he's a great person, but his instincts, his natural gut instincts about things are wrong. That's what that decision tells me. The Osama bin Laden aspect of it shows me his political gut instincts are always off. Dave, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Dave.
Thanks for having me on, Grace.
Sure thing.
Three things real quick. One, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Idiocracy.
I have not.
I feel like we're living that right now. Two, I hope there isn't stairs going down to the gates of hell because Biden won't make it. And three, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but one of my coworkers was telling me he made an announcement, an official announcement about something to do with Russia. I'm just not sure what it's all about. I don't know if you've heard anything.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk about Russia today. He's talking about putting more restrictions and things in place. But the real story is that all of those Russian bounties on American troops was fake news. That's the story that I find the most interesting.
He's going to be talking. He has a quote-unquote press conference today at 4:30. Where he's going to talk about Russia.
I wonder if he's planning on looking Vladimir Putin in the eyes and telling him that he has no soul. That went over swimmingly last time.
Oh, he doesn't need to do that again. He's already done that. Putin knows. He always knows.
All right. So what I want to get to right now is a little bit of this Fauci stuff. What can I say? I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm doing too much of it, but COVID, I think about COVID like most Americans every single day. When I get into my car and I have to put on a stupid mask to go into Starbucks or to go into, I don't even go to Starbucks anymore because I have my Covfefe, but to go into anywhere, you go in to grab a water somewhere, you got to put it on. It's ridiculous. And there seems to be no end in sight. So Jim Jordan brings this up to Dr. Fauci and the results are a thing of beauty. Let's take a listen to Cut 19 first.
When do Americans get their freedom back?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number. What I mean, we had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year of lost liberty. What metrics, what measures, what has to happen before Americans get their freedoms back?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can.
All right, and it goes on, and you'll notice that he doesn't give a number. He's not a numbers guy. He doesn't have a love of the numbers like, let's say, Joe Biden does. I have a feeling if you put a microphone in front of Joe Biden, he would just start guessing. What, 2%, 3%, 4%. But Fauci knows that giving a number, a rate of infection, would give us an actual goal. And he's made that mistake before. He made the goal of the vaccine. And then lo and behold, unfortunately for Dr. Fauci, they actually created one. So he doesn't want to give another reachable goal this soon because, God forbid, he lose his chance to continue to go on every single show on cable news. He's got to keep this going. Let's play cut 20.
I don't look at this as a liberty thing, Congressman Jordan.
Well, that's obvious.
As a public health thing.
But I
disagree with you on that.
You think the Constitution is suspended during a virus, during a pandemic? It's certainly not.
I find that part amazing. A liberty thing. He talks about this a lot. You remember way back when, Jerry, we can probably find the old cut where he criticized Americans for our free spirit and how it made it hard for us to follow the rules. He was real cute about it. Like, oh, I understand all you Americans, how we have this freedom thing, but maybe not now. Maybe put it aside. And it really makes me think of the quote from Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." We cannot keep living with this idea that we are guaranteed 100% safety. If you want to wear a mask, you have every right. But this insanity where everyone has to wear one because there's a 0.00% chance that you might get this makes no sense. Makes zero sense. I love how he says, "I'm not concerned with the liberty thing." It's not a liberty thing to him. Huh. You don't say. I'm shocked. And the press just keeps putting up his headlines. They keep putting up his predictions. And I love today, Ben Domenech was on Fox, and he started talking about the media and how corrupt they are and how we're living in a new reality. So let's play cut 16.
It is the new reality, and it's not going away, and that should inform the way that they treat these types of questions from the press when there is never going to be any kind of fair shake given to them. They need to approach it with that same level of combativeness and willingness to push back against narratives that are already established and that serve the partisan ends of the Democratic Party.
In other words, they need to act more like Ron DeSantis and call out the fake news. And go with their instincts and say, listen, no more mask mandates. And speaking of that, actually, Chris Sununu from New Hampshire said that the mask mandate there will be lifted wicked soon. Actually used that term, wicked soon. But it expires Friday, tomorrow. So I'm thinking that maybe by tomorrow it gets lifted. And it's amazing when you look at, I think that's why people like Ron DeSantis drive the mainstream media so crazy. Because there's nothing Dr. Fauci and Nancy Pelosi and Biden would like more than to have the whole country locked down, depressed, gaining weight, getting stupider by the second. And they could say, listen, this was our only option. If we had done it any differently, we would have lost 400 million more people. You know, they come up with crazy numbers. We would have lost 400,000 more people than we already did. They would love to be able to put that out there as the hypothetical. And what Ron DeSantis is doing and what he has done over the last year is he's eliminated that for them because people are able to see the flip side of the coin and they're able to say, wait a second, it wouldn't have been chaos had we done it differently. Had we kept the schools open? Had we kept the economy open? It wouldn't have been impending doom. It actually would have probably been a lot better. And they do not like that. They don't like someone challenging their narrative, especially with real results. That drives them really crazy. Guys, we'll be talking a lot about this in the next segment, 844-500-4242. I encourage you guys to call in, weigh in, and I got to let you know about this too. So we've been talking a lot about defunding the police. And as I've mentioned, the squad brings it up. The squad, there's nothing that they won't tackle. You know, they want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to defund the police. They want to get rid of airplanes. They're determined to put an end to Cal Farts. There's nothing that is too big or, you know, too tough for them to sink their teeth into. And David Marcus had a great piece in the New York Post. One of the publications that really has been backing this idea and kind of adding, you know, stoking the flames of this crazy rhetoric is the New York Times. And you'll never guess what the New York Times has in their lobby. They actually have a police officer patrolling the lobby of the New York Times. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. A company such as the Times writes a check to the New York City Police Department or the New York Police Department, which pays the officer, minus an administrative fee, to provide protection in full police regalia. It's rank hypocrisy, and I'm shocked by that. I don't know if they know about it, but someone needs to get ahead of this. That's unacceptable. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take more of your calls, 844-500-4242. I'm really excited to tell you guys about something else right now, which is spring is in the air. Imagine the smell of a freshly mowed lawn, buds on trees, and the thoughts that summer is on its way. After a long, dreary winter, it truly has been a dreary winter. There's been tough winters in Boston before. Weather-wise, this might not have been the worst, but with the lockdown, it just made it feel like it was never going to end. And my prescription for you guys is a stay at the Follinsby Inn on the shores of Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. My favorite lakeside getaway. I've now been there twice. I absolutely love it. Picture yourself waking up in the morning and looking out to the diamond reflections of Kezar Lake, where you're boating, swimming, or just relaxing with a book. The Follinsby Inn is great for family gatherings, a personal retreat, or romantic getaway. Reserve one of their 17 unique historic guest rooms, each with a private bath. Honestly, I can't say enough about their complimentary mouth-watering breakfast. My mouth is watering right now thinking about the homemade hash. Oh my gosh, the Eggs Benedict, the blueberry waffles. Everything is cooked to order. It is your oasis, and it is awaiting you at the Follinsby Inn. Go to follinsbyinn.com and book now because you deserve it. Whenever I do an ad read for Follinsby, people say, I want to book that place that you talk about, but you say it too fast. That's FollinsbyInn.com, and it's spelled FOLLANSBEE, FollinsbyInn.com. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take some more of your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Another night of absolute chaos in Minnesota. There was a lot of riots. Minnesota cops arrested 24 people for rioting and curfew violations in the fourth night of protests over Dante Wright's police shooting death, with one man mocking officers by parading a severed pig's head on a stake. As one of my callers brought up, there was also a CNN crew member who was hit in the face with a water bottle. The scenes from last night look very violent and scary, but we'll keep you posted on that. I also have another update for everyone in regards to Coca-Cola. I know this is a story we've been following. If you guys missed this, Georgia has a new voting law, and according to the left, it is very racist. Now, it took me a long time to wrap my head around this. I kept Googling. You know, I wanted to figure out why it was racist. I wanted to be enlightened. And all I could find was, one, they want voter ID to be a requirement for absentee ballots. And two, they do not want outside groups to be able to hand out food or water to people in line. Now, keep in
racism.
Obviously. Now, keep in mind, if you're in line, you can bring your own water. You can bring your own food. You can order food. You can order water. You just can't accept it from outside groups. But that's racist. So Atlanta, the All-Star Game decided, the Major League Baseball decided they were going to move the All-Star Game out of Atlanta. And since then, you know, Will Smith has a movie production that was moved out of Atlanta. And this city that is primarily made up of black people is being hurt financially because of some woke liberals who thought it would be fun to virtue signal. Well, Coca-Cola is backtracking on that a little bit. I think they're a little bit scared that some of their fans, some of their consumers, might actually be conservative. This is from the Washington Examiner. The soda giant, which is based in Atlanta, I should add in here, CNN is also headquartered in Atlanta. No word yet from Jake Tapper if they plan on moving it. It's the least they can do, you know? The soda giant was absent from a list of more than 500 corporations and individuals that signed a statement condemning any election legislation that would restrict voters from having an equal and fair opportunity to cast a ballot, which, again, these laws do not do. But it's all semantics. It's all about emotion and making people feel a certain way. So they'll just lie until that happens. The missive was placed as a two-page Wednesday ad in the New York Times and the Washington Post, with the effort being organized by the Black Economic Alliance. Coca-Cola said in a statement to the Washington Examiner on Wednesday that the company had not seen the letter initiated by the alliance, but is certainly open to hearing their perspective. "We believe the best way to make progress now is for everyone to come together to listen, respectfully share concerns, and collaborate on a path forward. We remain open to productive conversations with advocacy groups and lawmakers who may have different views." You'll notice that their remarks are noticeably less confrontational than previous ones on the Georgia voting law. They came out guns a-blazing. They were not going to stand for this level of racism. And now they're kind of going, we're going to listen. We're not going to talk so much. We're going to listen a little bit more. I think that's what we're going to do. And you know what? Good for them. And speaking of wokeness taking over, it's not just Coca-Cola. You know, there's definitely a huge faction of these corporations that are woke, liberal, wealthy, usually white men, who want to tell us how not racist they are. But I saw this story, and I might have to hand it to Taylor because I know he has a segment on Thursdays about this. Cheese is racist. Did you know that, Jared?
I did not, but I'm not surprised.
You always got that vibe from cheese?
I did.
There's something about you. There's something.
I didn't want to prejudge cheese walking in a certain neighborhood at night, but there was just still something that I felt was off.
Cheese is racist storm as hundreds back ban on dairy foods in school. Alyssa Plummer from the Global Environmental Movement had led a petition for more plant-based meals to be served in schools and other venues. She told one council there is a racist element to serving dairy because she believes a large percentage of the BAME communities is lactose intolerant. More than 240 people have backed the campaign so far. I just want to say that when 240 people sign a petition, that's usually online, that does not a movement make. So I would appreciate if these publications would stop acting like 50 people signed a petition to remove the name of the salsa at Trader Joe's and act like it's a massive story. 240 people is not that many people. And if you come for my cheese, I don't even want to go there because I've already said I will look past the Ben and Jerry's, okay? But cheese... what are they trying to do, Jared?
I do have to ask, just because I'm not woke, what is the BAME community?
I was hoping that you would not ask that.
I'm sorry.
Because I have no idea.
I personally judge cheese by the content of its character, so I don't see these things.
Well, I mean, dairy is one of those things that I was talking about dairy yesterday with Dr. Matt. He said some cats they lack the enzyme to break down dairy.
I read about that in the 1619 project.
What, Taylor?
Black, Asian, minority, ethnic.
There we go.
Thank you.
Cheese is racist. What more can you take in this world? Guys, we'll be back on the other side with more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.